Welcome to the Solo 2.0 podcast, where two sisters, Jess and Rye, focused on health and hormone balance to help you step into that 2.0 version of you.
Growing up, we heard all about hormones.
Sometimes more than we wanted.
From our mom, who is a hormone health educator.
As we got older, we rebelled and experienced our own health struggles and ups and downs. But today we have businesses helping people get in tune with their bodies, break free from restrictive eating and lifestyle habits, and learn how to balance their hormones naturally. So what can you expect from this podcast?
Honest conversations and hot topics that should be more mainstream, like period health, cycle tracking, non-hormonal birth control, and our unique take on fad diets and trends that aren't always so supportive for women. Plus, interviews with health and wellness entrepreneurs making a big impact in the world.
Ladies, it's time we align with our powers and redefine what healthy means to us.
Let's get into it.
Welcome back to the Solo 2.0 podcast. This is Jess, holistic health coach and founder of Body Bliss by Jess. And most of you know by now that I'm normally joined by my sister, Rye Birch, who's the co-founder of our family business. But we're actually switching things up a little bit for this episode and trying out a new client spotlight series where I bring on one of my amazing clients to share their experience working together via my one-on-one coaching program, which often integrates hormone testing via our family business, Your Hormone Balance. And the idea of this episode is for you to get a little behind the scenes look into the work that we do with clients, what that support looks like, but also to share beautiful transformations that women just like you have made in their health and hormone journeys. I personally think it's super, super helpful to listen to the stories of women who I can relate to who aren't necessarily experts or coaches or doctors, but real women who have maybe full-time jobs, maybe they're moms or entrepreneurs, they have hobbies and passions, and they often tend to put themselves on the back burner to show up for others. But there are also women who have finally made a commitment to putting themselves higher on the priorities list so they can take steps towards the 2.0 versions of themselves in a realistic, non-restrictive, and empowering kind of way. So to kick off this first client spotlight, I'm chatting with Felicia Riesel, who is a total go-getter mom of two, and we're going to do a deep dive into her story from growing up in a small town to navigating early body image expectations and pressures, meeting her husband at a young age and the role he's played as a support system in her health journey, the physical and mental changes and challenges of pregnancy and postpartum, her experience working with a functional medicine doctor for the first time, leading up to eventually when she found myself and my mom through a podcast called Just Ingredients and reached out to get support. As one of my one-on-one clients for over a year now, we dive into where she was when we first started working together. Hint, she was having two periods a month, struggling with hormonal acne, premenstrual rage, and insomnia, to where she is now feeling way more at home in her body, learning to eat from a place of joy and self-trust and supporting her blood sugar, to understanding her hormones on a deeper level, even using cycle syncing as a tool in the process. We also talk about her experience testing her hormones with Your Hormone Balance and some of the steps we took, including nutrition, lifestyle, movement, smart supplementation, and mindset work, which is a huge piece of the puzzle. And if you listen to this episode and you realize that, you know what, I am ready to take the next steps in my hormone health or maybe my weight loss journey and do it in a way that is really helping me get to the root, understand my unique body on a different level, and do it in a way that's not going to feel forced or, you know, in a really quick fix kind of fad diet type of way. You can sign up for a free discovery call via bodyblissbyjess.net, and we can chat about your health history, your desires and goals, and give you a look into what a coaching partnership would look like should we decide that we're the right fit for one another. You can also take our hormone symptom quiz and check out our Build Your Own Hormone Testing and Rebalancing package via yourhormonebalance.com. We'll also pop a surprise discount code for you in the show notes, so be sure to check that out, and all of those links will be in there, as well as some of the resources and things that we talk about in this episode. So I am really, really honored to have Felicia on the podcast to share so openly about her journey, and we both hope that this episode serves as a source of hope, inspiration, and tangible tools to help you realize that you can absolutely move the needle towards stepping into the highest version of yourself without sacrificing the things you love most in the world. So because this one's a little bit longer, let's jump right into it and welcome Felicia to the podcast. Hey, Felicia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Amazing. I'm so excited that we are having this conversation. For those who don't know, well, you do know now because I'm going to talk about it in the intro, but Felicia has been a client of mine for over a year now, which is amazing. She's been with me from the start of me launching my new one-on-one program. And I feel like from the very start, we just really hit it off in our partnership. And there's those clients that I always refer to as like soulmate clients. And I truly feel like you are that. And so, you know, so much has happened in the last year. You have had amazing growth, not only with, you know, seeing changes in your hormones, but just I think your mindset around your body, your hormones, yourself. And it's just been so beautiful to see you just blossom. And I feel like every day you're coming up with new epiphanies or realizations and you're trying new things and you're always so open and willing to say, you know what, this isn't working for me this month. Let me try something different. And I feel like that you're just honing in on that the more and more that we work together and more that you really have kind of turned this work into just your lifestyle. And that's what we want. And so when I reached out to you to come on the podcast, you were more than happy to do it. And I know that, you know, you listen to the podcast and I always love your feedback. So I just feel like it's a really great fit and we're going to have so much to talk about. So with that said, I want to just launch right into you sharing a little bit about let's just start with who is Felicia. Give us a little bit of your backstory, like your upbringing, and we'll go from there.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you again so much for the opportunity. I absolutely adore your podcast. I love working with you. I feel like this last year I've just learned so much, and it's an honor to be on here because you've had some incredible guests that, you know, that I've listened to this year. So thank you for that. So my name is Felicia and I live in a pretty small town in upstate New York. To kind of give you an idea, where I'm literally like probably 4 hours away from New York City. So not a city life for me, but, I've grown up here my whole life. I actually still live in the same house that I grew up in. Me and my husband bought the house from my mom about 8 years ago. So
wait, I didn't know that. Yeah, sorry. That's so cool. That's the house you grew up in. Oh my gosh.
It is. Yeah.
So many memories just looking around.
Yeah. It was interesting when we were house hunting, you know, we just couldn't find anything that we liked better within our price range that didn't need a ton of work. So we actually ended up putting an addition on the home, and my mom lives with us and our two kids. And, you know, it's a really, really great community. It's, you know, just that small town feel. Everybody kind of knows each other, which, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but, everybody here is really great. So growing up here, I grew up living with my mom, my dad, and I have a younger brother. And, you know, we went to church every Sunday. They were very, very big on having a lot of family time, quality time. But they were both very hardworking parents. I was so grateful to have a dad who instilled that hard work in me from like a really young age. I think I was like 14 when I got my first job. And, you know, he kind of tried to always instill that in us is, you know, you don't give up. You work hard and then you can reap the benefits from that. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I really remember growing up, and just having a loving home, you know, always meant everything. I always knew I could come to my parents. And that is, you know, how I hope to be with my children now that I'm raising. I have a daughter who's almost 12, which is crazy. And mm-hmm. my son is 8, and we're going to be starting spring sports soon. So they keep me busy. But that's kind of a little bit of my background.
I love that. I know that, you know, you also are married, and I think it would be kind of fun to share a little bit about
how
you and your husband met, because it's just such a sweet story. And part of the reason I want you to talk about this is because it is really important when you're going through any health journey to have support. And I know that he's been a big support system for you. So can you speak to that a little bit too? And, you know, being a mom, it's hard because sometimes you put your own needs on the back burner. And so to be a really present mom in the way that you are and to have that support system, I think has been really important as you're going through this journey as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So my husband, Billy, we met in high school. So he was a year older than me. And I always tell the kids this story because I think it was really funny. When we first met, I didn't really like him. And I was like, oh, you know, he's a wrestler. He's kind of a jerk. You know, what's this guy doing? But we quickly became really good friends. We had a lot of mutual friends at the time. Again, being in a small town, we all kind of knew each other. So once we started dating, you know I was young, but I felt something was really special about him. And, you know, not only did we have that attraction, but we really became like best friends. And I'm so thankful that, you know, throughout all these years later, we still have that connection. But it's something we work really hard at. You know, we try to get a date night in when we can. He's extremely supportive. And he works very hard every day. He's got, you know, countless hours. Some days he does plumbing and heating locally. He's just always on the go, but he could come home at 9 o'clock at night and he's always got a smile on his face. And he can just look at me and know, like, okay, you need to like go sit down. I'll put the kids to bed. It's okay. So sometimes it's nice to not have to say it, even though I'm a big communicator. So usually when he walks in the door, I'm like, okay, I got to tell you about X, Y, and Z. And sometimes he's like, okay, give me a minute. I got to take a shower first. But a lot of the time we can just kind of look at each other and kind of know that, okay, something's up. You've had a day. You really need to take a break. So I'm super grateful for our relationship.
Well, what you said too about like, I'm a big communicator, that's probably a lot of the reason why, you know, he kind of knows what you need because you've communicated that with him. And I think that's an important part of a relationship is not like, one thing I've learned through therapy with my husband is instead of saying like, you did this or, you know, I'm exhausted, like you just take the kids, like I'm overwhelmed, like I've been working all day. It's like, you know, it would mean a lot to me. It would be really supportive for me if you would, you know, take the kids and put them down. I've had a really long day. Mm-hmm. And then acknowledging, like, I really appreciate what you did yesterday. Like you taking the kids, like that allowed me to get a good night's sleep. And, you know, how can I support you? Or if you are frustrated with the person, instead of saying, you know, putting them on the defense and attacking them, it's like when you showed up and immediately went and started watching your shows and didn't realize that, you know, I needed support. It made me feel unseen, you know, and it made me feel this way. And I feel like just in our conversations together and the relationship that you've shared about your husband, like that is, I think, kind of innately how you operate.
Yeah, definitely.
That's beautiful. So going back to high school and those early days when, you know, you were first meeting your later to be husband, what was your relationship like with food and your body and your hormones? I mean, that's a pivotal time. We're going through a lot of changes. So what was it like for you back then? How would you describe that?
So back then, it's funny because I actually was thinking about this after you sent over some information for today. And it really brought me back to that time in high school, kind of, you know, probably 14, 15. I actually got my period when I was 9. So I had already been getting my period for quite a few years. But I think that's around the age where you start getting more of that, you know, male attention from the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. People start to maybe nitpick what you look like. And I grew up in a house where we always had a lot of food. You know, my mom was Italian. We ate at my grandma's house every Sunday, pasta, you know, cakes, everything. And I never felt a pressure to watch what I was eating at the time, I guess. My mom was never the type to say, you know, oh, you're eating too much, or, you know, she was very, very supportive growing up. But I would kind of feel it from other family members. So around that age, I can definitely remember like maybe seeing an aunt or an uncle or even a grandparent. Oh, honey, you've gained weight, or oh, honey, you've lost weight. It was always the first thing that came out of their mouth. And I would say that did start to affect me. I even had some other family members who at a much younger age would tell me, oh, you're so much bigger than all your other girl cousins, you know. You realize how big you are, right? And I'm bigger on the bottom. I have a big butt, you know, I've always, that's just my shape.
People pay for that, you know?
Yeah, I know, right? Now it's like, oh. But I was very, very self-conscious of that. So I would say around, you know, 15, 16, I did start to kind of play around with, you know, restriction a little bit. You know, okay, maybe if I skip dinner, I'll lose some weight. Maybe my butt will get smaller. Maybe people won't notice. I don't think I ever got too extreme with it, but I do remember a period of time where, you know, I would go a day or two and I would just have like a Nutri-Grain bar for the whole day. Mm-hmm. And I quickly felt my energy levels really dropping. And at the time, I didn't really talk to anybody about it. I just kind of kept it to myself. And, you know, I wanted to control what I looked like to other people. And I didn't want, you know, my family members to comment, oh, you've gained weight, or, you know, I just felt very uncomfortable for a while. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. And then I think meeting my husband so young, and having really great best friends growing up with, you know, eventually I felt like I didn't need to do that anymore. And I would eat, you know, at the time I felt like, okay, I'm getting back to eating normal. I didn't want to deprive myself of anything. So I feel like for a long time after that, I was good. I didn't feel like I had to restrict myself. But I was always conscious of what I looked like to other people, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, those comments, it's so interesting. They really stick with you. Like, you remember mm-hmm. exactly how your family members worded yeah. it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we've talked about this in like our group coaching session, but it's so interesting how these beliefs that we have about ourselves become very ingrained from a young age, because we're very much in our subconscious brain between the ages of 0 to 7. So anything that is said to us, mm-hmm. we, you know, we're like a sponge and yeah. we believe it to be true. Mm-hmm. And then even if it's like a tiny little comment, we may not subconsciously realize, oh, when I was a little kid, or even after that in high school, you know, I remember... It's so silly, but I remember the weirdest comments that people would say to me that stuck with me. Like, I remember someone pointing out, you know, oh, you're so shy, you probably get walked over all the time. Like, I remember that. And it was like at 14 years old. Or I remember a couple of my girlfriends making fun of another girl because she was like a big pant size. And I was like, well, what do you guys think about me? Cause I'm like that same size. Right. And I remember that just stuck with me, and I couldn't stop thinking about it, And I was like, well, I need to be smaller. Otherwise they're going to leave me. They're not going to want to be my friend, you know? And so I think it's really powerful to go back to these comments that are made, because we don't realize how much they impact the choices that we make at a later date in our lives. And sometimes even the self-sabotaging behaviors that happen when we are on a health journey and we are starting to see progress. And then this little voice in our head says, no, everyone told you were fat when you were younger, you weren't good enough. So like, I'm just going to eat this sleeve of cookies because I already am not good enough. I'm already always going to be fat. And so I think it's really powerful to go back and to talk about it and bring it to the light and say, you know what, this is maybe where some of those behaviors stemmed from. Right. But it's interesting that you were able to come out of it mm-hmm. relatively quickly. Yeah. What would you attribute that to? Like, just your own self-talk? Was it partially being in this really supportive relationship where, you know, your husband didn't make you feel like that mattered? Mm. Yeah. Was it setting boundaries with your family members?
Right. Yeah, I think it was a combination. So I do think it was, you know, a big part probably to do with my mom. You know, I don't remember every conversation, but I do feel like she would kind of maybe pick up on when I was maybe restricting too much because she wasn't seeing me eat. She wasn't seeing me have those regular meals that, you know, she's used to. So talking with her, talking with my spouse, just having time with him, you know, we became really into like going to the movies and going out to dinner. So that in itself, I think, helped a lot because, you know, we would go and we would have a nice dinner and we would maybe go to a movie and share popcorn and candy. And I just slowly felt like, okay, this is what life should be like. I shouldn't tell myself, oh, I can't have the popcorn or I can't have the nachos because my butt's going to get bigger and somebody's going to make fun of me for it. I really just started to enjoy things for myself without having that worry as much in the back of my mind.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So I know you were a little bit younger when you started mm-hmm. to have children. Mm-hmm. And I know for a lot of women, it's interesting because I work with primarily moms. It's mm-hmm. not like my niche, but that's just who's been drawn to me. And I love working with moms because you moms are super women. I'm not a mom yet, but definitely like we talked about, you know, tend to put yourself a little bit more on the back burner. And yeah. it's like when I see moms show up for themselves and be like, I want to make a change. I want to put myself higher on the priorities list. Yeah. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I also know as you're going through, you know, getting pregnant and your hormones are changing and your body's changing, like where were you, how did that experience impact your body image? Like, did that do anything? Either, cause I know for some it's, you know, even during pregnancy, but then afterwards as well, like postpartum, I have a lot of moms come to me postpartum. So what was that experience like for you from a body image standpoint, but also from like a mental and hormonal standpoint?
Yeah. So yeah, let's see. I think I was 24 or 25 when I got pregnant with my daughter, my first child. And, you know, I felt like when I got pregnant, I was super happy with how I looked. You know, I literally got pregnant, I think the month after our honeymoon. So I'm coming off of, you know, maybe having regular workouts and just feeling really good about where I was. And then I do remember like when I got pregnant, I felt like I instantly just felt bloated. Like once I knew I was pregnant, I was like, oh my God, I feel bloated. I feel like my stomach already looks bigger, you know, after maybe like the 3 month mark. And then shortly after that, I started getting really bad morning sickness. And that was awful. And I was up, you know, every morning by 5 a.m. sick. I was working full time. And it's funny because as the pregnancy went on and I stopped throwing up as much, I just craved sweets all the time. And my coworkers at the time still remember, they're like, oh yeah, you used to eat like your own Dunkaroos at your desk. Like I would have the frosting with the graham crackers and I would be like going to town on it. So I did gain, I think I gained like 50 to 60 pounds for my daughter. So when I remember having her, after I had her, I struggled for quite a long time. I felt like I was never going to get my body back. I felt like I was always going to be carrying extra weight. So it did take me time. I would say it took me a good year to lose most of what I gained. But, you know, I did give myself grace. I was like, okay, it took me 9 months to get to the point of having her. So it's going to take time for that weight to fall off. Mm-hmm. And I really was not exercising regularly back then. I would go for a lot of walks with her, but I wasn't doing any kind of strength training yet. I would go to like a Zumba class once in a while when I could. And then I remember 3 years later when I got pregnant with my son, I felt at that point like I was in a good place again. Got pregnant again. I didn't gain as much and I did try to stay more active. But again, I had morning sickness, with him. I felt like it lasted almost my whole pregnancy. So my energy was just so down. And then after I had him, I really took probably another year or two before I got back into you know, okay, I'm going to strength train. I'm going to make sure I'm getting those workouts in so that I can feel like I feel better about myself mentally and physically.
Yeah. So at which point, at what point was it that things started to change hormonally, where you started to experience these shifts? Because it sounds mm-hmm. like your period was pretty regular and, mm-hmm. and things yeah. were kind of moving as they should. Mm-hmm. So at what point were you like, oh my gosh, I'm starting to feel really off. I'm starting to have these symptoms.
Yeah.
And when did you, like, what were some of the first steps that you mm-hmm. took to kind of investigate what was going on?
So I didn't really have hormonal issues, I felt like, until it was about 4 months after I had my son. So this was back in 2016. And I was on hormonal birth control for probably 10 years before I went off and got pregnant with my daughter. So I had been on it a long time from, like, okay. let's say age 14 to 24. I feel like I went on it at age 14 because of heavy periods. And, you know, at the time my doctor put me on, I think I took orthotricycline low, stayed on the same one for 10 years, went off, had my kids. And then I did go back on in between having them. But I remember when I had my son, you know, 4 months later, I said, okay, I might as well go back on. I don't want to get pregnant. This is just what I'm used to. So I think I had been back on it for about 2 months, and I just had noticed really getting a lot of anxiety, just feeling mm-hmm. nervous all the time. You know, it was, I've always been a little anxious, but this was really significant. I had had it a little bit after I had my daughter, but it was, you know, pretty manageable. After that, anxiety increased. One night, I'll never forget, I was up all night long. I did not sleep for 1 hour. And my husband was home the next day. So it must have been a weekend. And, you know, he's like, well, if you didn't sleep, like, go lay down, like, try to nap. Couldn't nap. And after a couple of weeks of this cycle of sleeping maybe just every other night, I had reached out to my OBGYN and I said, listen, something's wrong. This is very unusual for me to not be able to sleep. Cause I'm a sleeper. I love to mm-hmm. sleep. I've always slept really well. So I knew for me, something was significantly wrong. So I was still on birth control at the time. And after probably 4 or 5 calls, visits back and forth with my OB at the time, they did have me come in and I had kind of like a one-on-one talking session. And at the end, it was basically, okay, well, we've done labs. Everything looks normal. You have delayed postpartum depression. And I remember thinking to myself, this can't be right. This doesn't feel like depression to me. I didn't feel sad. I felt mm-hmm. scared. I felt like I don't know what to do. And I remember feeling really, really hopeless. And at the time, I went back and forth with my primary care doctor, and she's the one who finally said to me, I think this is hormonal and you need to stop taking your birth control.
Wow.
And I was like, really? I would have never known, thought of it, anything like that. So I did go off of it. About a month later, I felt a little bit better, but I was still having sleep issues, still having the crazy anxiety. And then it was affecting me so much that I was crying a lot at work. I was, you know, expressing it to anyone who would listen to me basically, because I was so desperate for help. And a coworker said, hey, there's a functional doctor now right across the street and you should go there, because she had a friend who had something similar happen. So I went there, and I have to give her a shout out, Dr. Renee Wellenstein. She's absolutely fabulous. She does her own thing now. But at the time, she was right across the street from me. And, you know, I went
to her. How long ago was this? Sorry.
This was 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. So after I went to her and did the blood work and had a couple of follow-ups with her, you know, we realized how out of whack my hormones were. And she had put me on a low dose of bioidentical progesterone, magnesium, you know, things that I at the time had never really heard about and didn't know the benefits of. So just tweaking the progesterone along with some other supplements, I would say within 3 to 4 weeks, I felt almost back to normal.
Wow.
So it was really amazing. And, it was like an epiphany, like a life-changing moment for me, because I was so scared that I was going to end up on sleeping pills and antidepressants for the rest of my life. Not that those can't have a purpose for people, but I just felt like that wasn't my answer. And, so I'm very grateful that I was able to find her at the time and start to feel better.
Yeah. And oh my God, that was a while ago that you started getting to the root, because for those who don't know, a functional medicine doctor, well, maybe you can just kind of give like a little summary of like a functional medicine doctor is going to help you get to the root of what's going on versus the sort of band-aid approach where it's like, oh, you have heavy periods. Like back when you were in high school, you have heavy periods. Let's just put you on the pill. Right. Oh, you've got postpartum depression. Let's give you depression medication. Oh, you know, a pill for every ill type of situation.
Right.
Obviously I say this every time I talk about doctors, we need doctors, not bashing doctors, but when it comes to advocating, especially for our hormonal health, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And women often feel very dismissed.
Yes.
They feel like they're just sent on their way with no answers, or the answers that they are given, it's like, wait, no, I'm not depressed. Like you're saying, and now I'm questioning, am I depressed?
Yeah.
And so,
That
can do a whole number on our mindset as well. And so can you share a little bit about like how you would describe the difference in experience of working with a naturopathic or holistic doctor versus a Western medical doctor or OBGYN?
Yeah. So, when I had gone to my OBGYN, like I said, they did do blood work on me, but, when I went to the functional doctor, I was shocked when I went in because I think it was like 14 tubes of blood that they took at the lab. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is kind of a lot. And at the time, I think I was probably one of her first patients like in the area, because the people at LabCorp kind of looked at me like, you need all of these tests done. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. Like, you know, I'm seeing this new doctor, you know, but I was very excited about it because I wanted to know what it all meant. So she did a very thorough thyroid panel on me. That was one thing that I thought was a really significant difference, was like, I think like a primary doctor or an OB will do like maybe your TSH and maybe one or two other levels, but she ran like, I think there's actually 6 or 7 different thyroid tests that they can do on you. And, I'm going to forget what they're all called, but I know a couple of them really dive into your stress level, and they can tell them a lot of, you know, what is your thyroid doing based on the stressors in your body. So just learning all about the thyroid was like, I was like dumbfounded when I talked to her after the fact. And, you know, she kind of had me on watch with that for a while, especially since I had just had my son. And then really extensive blood work on vitamin D levels, my magnesium levels. She tested, you know, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, just so many different things, pregnenolone, so many things that I had never heard of before. And, you know, a lot of mine were really depleted back then. And, so just supplementing those things really helped me a lot. And when I went back to my OBGYN and explained it to them, they're a little more supportive now because they know that I'm always going to kind of go by my functional results a little bit more. So I do let them know that I'm still seeing the functional doctor. But I remember in the beginning, you know, they kind of brushed it off like, okay, like, well, if that's helping you, just keep doing that. And I was like, really? Like, is this, this, like you said, it's, you get dismissed like, okay, well, you know, I'm on to the next now. If that's helping you, great. And, I remember feeling just kind of frustrated with them. And, you know, I do go, I want to go every year for my pap smear and, you know, make sure everything's okay. But I just have really found the functional side can kind of pick up on those root causes of things going on. She'll even do, like, I know I've done some cleanses, like sometimes you can have like a candida overgrowth in your gut. You know, so she'll kind of go over different things I have going on and give me her recommendations. So,
yeah. And also one thing that's interesting is like, you gave a shout out to your doctor, right? It mm-hmm. sounds like you formed a personal bond and you actually, she got to know you on a deeper level, because when you go in to your typical appointment with your Western doctor, OBGYN, you're in and out in like 15, 20 minutes. It's very mm-hmm. much like, okay, let's get your weight. Let's get your vitals. How are you, like, what's going on with you? What are the symptoms? Okay, take hormonal birth control, or, you know, take this prescription, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, and send you on your way. Yeah. And then with a functional doctor, typically your first session is going to be like an hour and a half, and it's going to be mm-hmm. very in depth. They're going to ask you so many questions about your health history, your past, even your upbringing. Mm-hmm. I've had some functional medicine appointments where I'm like, wait, you're asking about my mindset? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Or my upbringing, my family life. Mm-hmm. And you really do get to know that person. I can honestly say, if you were to ask me the name of the OBGYN that I saw even last year, I can't remember her name. Like, I honestly don't really remember any of my OBGYN's names or primary care doctors' names, because mm-hmm. one, I didn't see them enough, because every time I went, I felt dismissed or not helped. I would go when I had to, like you said, for an annual, or, mm-hmm. oh, I need to get my migraine medication refilled, or mm-hmm. whatever it was. And I got to the point where I honestly was just like, I don't even want to talk to you. Like, I know I don't want to hear it. I just want to come for what I'm here for. And then I'm going to leave. But I think that there's something really wonderful about learning how to advocate for yourself, because at mm-hmm. this point, you know, if I go in to see a medical doctor or an OBGYN, I'm going to have very specific questions. I'm going to go in there, you know, armed with these tools, and I'm going to advocate for myself, and I'm going to be able to filter out mm-hmm. and not let that experience derail my progress. And then I'm going to complement that with diving deeper and the holistic work. So I want to get into how you found me and my family business, because that was quite a few years later. Mm-hmm. And I want to also circle back after that at the end. So remind me if I don't bring it up, your advice for advocating for yourself mm-hmm. in not only a medical setting, but when it comes to just getting more in tune with your own body.
Right.
So, okay, let's fast forward a little bit. So it sounds like you worked with her for a number of years.
Yeah. So, so I worked with her for, I think, 3 years. And then unfortunately, the location near me was the second office for this doctor's office. So, you know, I got a letter that the office was going to be closing. So I was so sad. But the main office is actually located in Rochester, New York. So, it's Dr. Layla's Quality of Life Medicine. And, you know, the letter said we could still go out there once we establish. Now I do my follow-ups over the phone, you know, 6 to 12 months later. So, I did go out there. I met Dr. Layla. I hope I say her last name right. I think it's Cardini. She's also fabulous. I really enjoy talking with her. And I still keep in touch with Dr. Renee. She's on Instagram, so I'm always following her, seeing what she's up to. I know she meets with a lot of clients on her own now. So she's still doing it, just in a different way. So I had met Dr. Layla, and I kept up on my appointments with her. And then I would say it was probably, let's see, it's 2024 now. So it was like fall of 2022. I started to have two periods a month, just kind of out of nowhere. I was getting my period, and then 2 weeks later, I'd be bleeding again. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? I'm 35. I'm not, you know, I don't think I'm perimenopausal, but I didn't really know enough about it yet. I had called my gynecologist's office. I went in for a scan, some blood work. Again, they told me the blood work was pretty normal. I could possibly be starting perimenopause. This can be normal, having the double periods a month. You know, why don't you consider going back on some kind of birth control? And I said, I will not go back on birth control because I had such a bad experience with it in the past. And they said I had a little bit of what they call adenomyosis, which is similar to endometriosis. I think it's like a different lining that's affected in the uterus. So they said that that's probably why I was having those symptoms. I was also starting to have sleep issues again. I was having crazy acne on my face, to the point where I stopped, like, I did not want to leave my house unless I had to. I was embarrassed to go to work. I felt like everyone was going to see that I had breakouts on my face. I would look down in grocery stores, which was so unlike me because I've always like held my head high and smile at people. And I love to have that connection. So I just slowly started to feel like I was slipping and started, you know, listening to different podcasts, trying to like do my own research to see, you know, what's going on. And, I had started listening to Just Ingredients and was trying to like change some of the, you know, oils I was using to cook and, you know, different little things at the time. And I had listened to the podcast with you and your mom. And I remember listening to it and I felt hopeful, like, oh my God, I need to reach out to her. Hopefully we can work together and, you know, I can kind of get my hormones back on track, because even though I was working with my functional doctor, I felt like everything I had been doing up to that point was working, but I'm like, okay, something now is different. I'm getting a little bit older. Something else needs to change. And I remember I had started to get really restrictive again with like what I allowed myself to use and eat. So I was avoiding like all dairy, all gluten. You know, I wasn't really having a lot of sugar. I was never having as much alcohol. I was really stressing myself out more, I think, because I was not knowing what I was doing. And I was just trying to cut out way too much at one time. And another thing that I was doing was I would start my day with a pre-workout, which was like, you know, all caffeine. And I think I was really making my cortisol like go through the roof. It just was not, it was not a good combination. So once I reached out to you, I was so excited once we started working together.
Well, one, I love just kind of hearing the progression of everything and what prompted you to reach out. And I don't know if you feel comfortable with me sharing sort of like from my perspective, what you came to me with. So you signed up for a discovery call. And I just remember in the call, you felt pretty frustrated. And I remember at that time you were taking a lot of supplements and you sort of felt like, I don't know if I want to be taking all of these things because I'm not quite sure what's working. You didn't feel like you knew what to do or what steps to take. And it seemed like there wasn't a lot of self-trust at that point. It seemed like even though you had tuned so much more into your body working with these functional doctors, it felt like you're at a point where you were like, I don't know what to do. And so you were, to your point, maybe restricting a little bit more because you were afraid that something might cause a flare up. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I remember you saying that your cortisol levels were so depleted, or you felt that they were, that you weren't even able to do the workouts that you had been enjoying through Beachbody. You were like, I'm really just walking right now.
Yeah.
And, and you were having a lot of difficulty sleeping. And because of the difficulty sleeping, you were also having a lot of anxiety around like, oh no, what if I don't sleep? Right. And I know that I feel like in the beginning, we talked a lot about your sleep and anxiety, mm-hmm. and then also your skin. Mm-hmm. And you were really nervous to eat dairy. You were really nervous, like you said, to eat sugar. And I remember you saying that you just felt so self-conscious about your skin and you were trying not to let it affect you and you were trying to use mindset work, but it was mm-hmm. really, really hard. And By the way, today your skin is glowing. I'm looking at
thank you.
And it truly is like so, so glowy and clear and looks beautiful. But you have come so far from that point. And I do want to give you so much credit because even during that call, it wasn't like you were defeated. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is just the next step in my journey. And I want support. And I know that I want to continue putting myself first. And I've already seen that making changes and working with a functional doctor has helped. So maybe there just felt like there was a bit of a missing link.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I'm curious, in that initial conversation, what was it, if you remember, what really resonated with you about my coaching style that maybe was different than what you had seen before?
I think just speaking with you and hearing how you could customize like the meal plans to mm-hmm. kind of like what maybe I needed at the time, because I know I was not ever eating enough protein before I started working with you. And it's funny because I always would think like, oh, I eat healthy. Like I eat salad for lunch or, you know, I would always have a protein at dinner, but I probably never had protein for breakfast or lunch before mm-hmm. I started working with you. And now, you know, it's become so like ingrained in me that it's easy. It's so easy to incorporate the protein that I need every day. But that really stood out when we had the discovery call, because I felt like that really was a missing link for me, was I didn't know how to eat to really support my body and my hormones and, you know, getting a little bit older. And that's where I was really struggling.
Yeah. So I love that you said that because I do create custom meal plans for clients, but I always do make the caveat. I don't know if I did in that call. I'm making it more of a caveat now when I talk to people is I'm not a meal plan coach. Right. So yes, I will create a meal plan for you, but just giving you a meal plan and sending you on your way doesn't really teach you anything.
Right.
It gives you the support of like, okay, I'm making sure that I'm eating enough protein, I'm getting a balance of all macronutrients because I don't believe in cutting out entire food groups or like the intermittent fasting or keto style diets long-term. I think it is absolutely possible for most people to have more of a balanced approach, which keeps it more sustainable and enjoyable. And so it's that marrying of, okay, here's a meal plan to support you with learning how to put together a balanced meal, having the inspiration so that when you have a busy week, you have a plan. And, but then also, okay, how do I actually build a meal to support my blood sugar levels when I'm not using the meal plan, when I want to go on Pinterest or I want to like order out at a restaurant or I'm having a get together and I want to make a meal for somebody. And so it's that marrying of the two, but then also the third component is building self-trust so that you can start to tune into your body and say, okay, you know, we had this on the meal plan, but when I ate it, I realized I was hungry an hour later or I wasn't very satisfied or I had cravings, whatever it is. And so in the beginning, I remember that you were using the meal plan all the time.
Yes.
And trying all of the recipes and we were making meal swaps a lot. Mm-hmm. And now it's like you barely ask for any swaps because you have built that confidence in making your own meals. You have more of that self-trust. And then if you want to use the meal plan, it's kind of like a, oh, I just feel like trying something new, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk about a little bit of like that progression? Like what led you from really feeling like you needed to follow a meal plan to now having more confidence in building your own meals? And in that, what changes have you experienced?
Yeah. So I think at the beginning, because I was like not aware at all of how much protein I needed every day, I really did rely on the meal plan a lot. Because it really taught me, you know, okay, you know, this amount of eggs is going to give you this much protein, or this amount of chicken sausage is going to give you this amount of protein. So I really had to learn how much protein made me feel really sustained throughout the day. So that was like one of the biggest things for me in the beginning. And I feel like I remember it was probably after like a good 6 months, I felt confident enough to kind of use your sexy six formula and start putting more meals together on my own. And now I feel like it's like just like a second nature. Like this morning I used the Vans plant protein waffles and I made two eggs and, put maple syrup and bananas on it. And I'm like, okay, I just got like 23 grams of protein. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
So I kind of now feel like good knowing, I feel the knowledge knowing that I can get enough protein on my own. And I know what it's going to take for me to feel really good throughout the day. Like, especially since I do like to start my day with a strength training workout. I use a lot of the LSF nutrition, plant protein. That stuff is amazing.
So good. Shout out to Katie.
Yeah. Oh my God. So good. So if I'm ever struggling, like even at work, I keep some there. So maybe I make a shake at work. I like to make them in the morning. But you know, moving to now where I know how to get the protein in, it's funny because I think even my family picks up on it. Like I'm trying to teach my kids about protein and okay, you know, you can eat this or that, but make sure you're getting enough protein in, especially mm-hmm. as they get older and they're doing sports. And my husband's big on it too. So it's been really fun to introduce that to them as well.
Yeah. And also, there was a point where, you know, we did a dairy elimination and reintroduction for your skin specifically, mm-hmm. because you had noticed that when you had more dairy, you felt like your skin was breaking out more. And I remember we talked about that because my take on it was, yes, absolutely. I do see a lot of breakouts stemming from dairy and potential inflammation.
Yeah.
But I also don't necessarily think it's one of those things where you have to completely eliminate it forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so can you speak a little bit to how we took that approach and what you noticed mm-hmm. just in reflecting on that and where you're at now with dairy?
Yeah. So like before, I was super restrictive with it. So I didn't want to have any dairy at all because I was nervous that it was really making my skin that much worse. But slowly, I think eliminating more of it, like during my different phases of my cycle, that started to help. So like usually the week before my period now, I kind of, not that I don't have it because I do, but I'll dial it back a little bit. And I've found that I do better with certain cheeses and certain dairy, which I know we've talked about that as well. Mm-hmm. So like I'll do really well with like feta cheese, but goat cheese, not a good combination for me. So it's just kind of learning which ones, I think if they affect my gut, that's usually how I know I should stay away from it. But I've just slowly kind of reintroduced it to different meals and I just kind of see how it goes. Mm-hmm. But I don't worry about it at all. Like if we go out to dinner or if we're on vacation, you know, I want to enjoy all the things that everyone else is eating. So I don't usually restrict it at all then. But I do try to be, you know, I do dial back depending on where I'm at in my cycle. And that's helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. And what we're, yeah. And that's another thing is like, we've worked a lot on cycle syncing mm-hmm. and understanding the four phases of the cycle and sort of how the hormones change and how we might need to adjust workouts a little bit or mm-hmm. nutrition choices, bring down stress,
right.
down caffeine, like these different things that we experiment with throughout the cycle. And one thing I've seen you get so much more in tune with is just that you'll be like, yeah. Oh, I noticed before my cycle that, you know, I tried the cottage cheese and it didn't work for me. And so right. I wanted it to work for me, but mm-hmm. it didn't. So I took it out or I found a swap and, you know, or I noticed like I had a little extra alcohol at this happy hour and, you know, mm-hmm. it was like one or two drinks was great. But then I realized that third drink really impacted yeah. my sleep and I felt yeah. more inflamed. And so mm-hmm. I just want to be mindful of that. And so you're yeah. always sort of like, you know, taking these, what other people might view as like slip ups or, mm-hmm. You know, F ups or whatever fallbacks. Yeah. And you're taking that and you're not putting any blame on yourself. And you're saying, right. okay, that happened. What did I learn from that situation? Mm-hmm. What message was my body trying to send me? And how can I honor that moving forward? Would you right. agree?
Yeah, definitely. And I think you mentioned like the drinks, like having alcohol at different times of my cycle. That was a really big learning curve for me. I would say alcohol and caffeine. I've really dialed back on caffeine like the week before my period, I'll kind of know when I need to start maybe switching it up to a half calf or a decaf. And then with alcohol, I really don't do well beyond the 2-drink mark. I know mm-hmm. I've shared a few stories with you, but it just really does impact my sleep. It makes me feel super anxious the next day. It's just something I've had to learn along the way. And I'm thankful where I'm at now, because I have had nights where, okay, maybe I've had that 3rd drink or that 4th drink on an occasion mm-hmm. and I would really beat myself up before. And now if it does happen once in a while, I'm letting it go a lot easier than I used to.
You really are. And yeah. We're also focusing on like the memories that you made. I mean, like, you know what? There've been a few times where you're like, I had that 3rd drink yeah. and I may have been a little more loosey goosey than I wanted right. to, but I had a really mm-hmm. good time.
Yeah.
And I connected with people and just kind of focusing mm-hmm. on that, being like,
yeah,
that was a good memory. Or sometimes it straight up just wasn't worth it. But instead right. you were like, okay, well, I know why now. And so right. next time I'll be more mindful. And you've found really awesome swaps too mm-hmm. for yeah. alcohol. So mm-hmm. what are some of your favorite, like, obviously I call them sexy swaps, but mm-hmm. some of your favorite sexy swaps for alcohol or caffeine and caffeine?
Yeah. So for caffeine swap, I really love matcha. So sometimes I'll do matcha in the morning. I love all your latte blends. I think I have the cacao one and the pumpkin one. So I kind of play around with putting the pumpkin one like in my creamer on top of matcha. That's been a favorite.
Oh yeah. Yum.
It's really good. And then for alcohol, I actually got a few items from Apothecary. So they're kind of like little powders and you can put them in really anything. So I'll get maybe like a seltzer water or I'll just straight up put it in water and maybe like a little bit of tart cherry juice at night. And I'll just mix that up and I'll have that. Or I'll just have like a lemon ginger tea at night if I want something. I used to be a nightly red wine girl. So like every single night I would have a glass of red wine. So now that I don't, it was funny because even my daughter used to notice it, like, well, why don't you drink wine anymore? And, you know, I'm like, oh God, I probably was having that way too often, you know, but.
That was a big one, actually.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about that in the beginning and nailing the swaps. And I feel like that Apothecary, for those who don't know, it's sort of like it's marketed as an alcohol replacement, mm-hmm. but it's like a blend of different adaptogens and mm-hmm. they have different mixes and each one's are to serve a certain purpose. But the one that you like is the wine down one that's meant to be like a wine mm-hmm. replacement mm-hmm. and then mixing it with the tart cherry juice, which helps to increase melatonin, our master mm-hmm. sleep hormone, naturally. So it can be really good for sleep, but then you've been making it into a tonic. So you're not, it's funny, the sleepy girl mocktail that uses tart cherry juice is all over the internet, but unfortunately a lot of the recipes are like a cup and a half or a cup, but that's a lot of sugar before bed.
Yeah.
And if you struggle with sleep, it's like, you don't want to be spiking your blood sugars that high. So mm-hmm. you're kind of diluting it with the lemon and the soda water or however mm-hmm. you make it. So and I know that that's been a big needle mover. And then with the matcha, I did want to caveat, matcha isn't necessarily caffeine replacement because it is mm-hmm. still caffeine, but
true.
Mm-hmm. It is less caffeine than coffee and it contains L-theanine, which is a calming amino acid. And so that's why I always reference matcha as calm, focused energy mm-hmm. versus the sort of like buzz and crash that you can get from coffee mm-hmm. and coffee also stimulates the adrenals and cortisol more than matcha. Of course, with any caffeine, we always recommend pairing it alongside mm-hmm. a meal or afterwards. And I know that was something that you started to do as well. So with all of this said, let's kind of like break things down a little bit deeper. So with your skin, what would you mm-hmm. say, because your skin is now glowing, what have been the biggest needle movers for your skin? And then tell us the same for your sleep.
Mm-hmm. So for my skin, I think a lot of it was really balancing my blood sugar. I really think that once I started doing that, that had a huge effect on my skin. So like with the caffeine, I've always had coffee in the morning, but I was having pre-workout, which had caffeine in it. And then I was having coffee And then maybe an hour or two later, I was having breakfast. So I started to really notice that sometimes I would have that dose of caffeine and then I would see new pimples popping up like literally out of nowhere. And I'm like, okay, something's going on with what I'm doing. And I really paid attention to it. And now I love espresso, and espresso is a little bit less caffeine than like whatever coffee I was having. So I'll always make sure to have my breakfast. And then about an hour later, I'll make an espresso. And that's like kind of like my morning routine now. But that really impacted my skin a lot. Once I got my blood sugar under control, you know, if I want a sweet, I have it, but I really am cognizant to have it like an hour after dinner or an hour after lunch. And I feel like I just digest everything so much better too. With my sleep, that is something that it definitely took me a couple of months to feel really confident in it, but I have to really wind down at night. And you know, I do still have nights where I struggle, especially before my period comes, but I am much more at ease about it because I know, okay, I'm going to get my period in a few days. This is just an off night. I have a lot going on. I try to really get my mindset in the right place. So I do a lot of deep breathing, which my daughter also has picked up on because she'll say, what's wrong? Like, are you okay? You're deep breathing. And I say, yeah, you know, I need to calm my body down a little bit today. So I do deep breathing. I do a lot of CBD baths. Huge fan of the Pure Dharma bath soak. So I do that a lot. I also use their Relax CBD. It's like a balm. So I put that on my feet at night. I use a lavender lotion, magnesium spray. And then I switched to magnesium glycinate after a conversation with you. So I'll take that at night as well with L-theanine. And that really helps me to unwind and kind of get my mind slowed down a little bit so that I can go to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like so much of it too has been, to your point, the mindset and also creating these rituals that you look forward to, that it's not like, oh, I have to like turn off the lights early or, you know, I gotta like do all these things. You're creating these rituals that honestly, when you just describe it, it paints this really relaxing picture. It's like, I'm doing my deep breathing. I have this nice soak. I'm making my little mocktail, like really winding down and also communicating with your daughter. You know, this is what mommy is doing to, you know, calm herself and to feel better and to sleep deeper. So you're setting that example for her.
Right.
And I know that you've also communicated with her a lot this past year, you know, when you have, because that was another thing that we didn't talk about, but you had always described having premenstrual rage.
Yes.
And that was a big thing that you came to me with that we have been working on. And so, you know, you have done such a great job just communicating with your daughter. Now that you're learning more about the four phases, like, hey, you know, I'm going into my premenstrual week. I'm about to get my period. If I snapped at you, it's not about you. It's what I'm going through. So has that really, do you feel like that's been a huge needle mover for you as well?
Oh yeah, definitely. I try to always communicate with both of my kids, you know, more so on this topic with my daughter, because I think that it's okay to let your kids see you be human. You know, I think there's so much pressure, especially on moms, to do everything perfectly all the time. You know, don't yell at your kids, do a good job at work. You know, when you're home, you have to be present. But there's a lot of pressure with all of that. So, you know, it's gotten better for me. I think just being able to communicate to my family about it. Do I still have those days? Absolutely. I actually had one not that long ago and I, you know, went to bed thinking, oh my gosh, like I can't believe how I acted today. I was just so, so moody today. And then, you know, the next morning I'm like, you know, mommy, sorry. My period's coming. And, you know, she's like, okay. Like, you know, she always takes it very well. And then we move on and, you know, it's a new day. But, you know, I think it's important to let your family know where you're at. And I think that there's a lot of pressure maybe in our society too, to like not talk about your period and not not have it really affect you, but it's part of you and it does affect you, and whatever phase you're in can affect, you know, how you feel for that day. It just depends.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's touch on that a little bit too, because one of the things that we've incorporated while working together was we did get your hormones tested in saliva, which for those of you who know my family business, Your Hormone Balance, you probably have heard me talk about it before. We're huge advocates of testing in saliva. We also think urine testing can be helpful because saliva and urine are much more accurate than standard blood tests that you're going to get from Western OBGYN. Sometimes those tests are even dismissed, like, oh, we don't need to test for hormones, which is ridiculous. But it helps you to dive deeper. And with a standard blood test, you're basically just testing the active level or the all total circulating hormone levels, active and inactive. And so a lot of times clients will come to us and say, I had all my hormone levels tested and everything came back normal, but that's not how I'm feeling. And then we test them in saliva and saliva picks up the only the active hormone levels that have left the bloodstream and moved into the cells where hormones actually do their work. And then we connect those hidden hormonal imbalances directly with the symptoms that you're experiencing. So you can say, oh, the difficulty sleeping at night is because I'm having high cortisol levels, or these painful periods are coming from high estrogen relative to progesterone. I'm bleeding twice a month, you know, so this was the next step that we took, and we uncovered some imbalances, and you had already, again, been working with a functional medicine doctor, but we did tweak quite a few things once we got your results back. So can you speak to that? Because you are now having a much more regular cycle. You're not bleeding twice a month. So talk a little bit about those changes and kind of what you uncovered and where you went from there and where you are now.
Yeah. So when we did the saliva testing, I think it was sometime towards fall of last year or summer of last year, I had thought I had really high estrogen, I think. And when I did the testing, it actually showed that my estrogen was actually low.
Yeah.
And I realized, okay, I'm overdoing it on DIM because DIM can help lower estrogen. And I'm thinking, okay, I need DIM because it's supposed to help with hormonal acne. I really didn't need the DIM and it was maybe causing me a little more harm at the time, but I didn't know that. So I do remember that was a huge, huge discovery for me, was that I don't need to be taking that supplement.
Also, just to interject there, that's a huge, I'm so glad you said that because there's so much out there, especially for hormonal acne, that says, take DIM. Yeah. We never recommend DIM until we see test results, because to your very point, for somebody who has low estrogen, DIM helps to excrete excess estrogen. So you're just lowering it even more. Right. And even in that situation, it's like, you don't want to necessarily eat too many cruciferous vegetables because cruciferous vegetables contain DIM in them as well. So then you're potentially lowering it even more.
Yeah, which I was doing. I was eating like a ton of broccoli and even cauliflower, which I don't really like. I was like, oh, I need to do this for my skin. So that was a huge discovery. And then I remember a conversation I had with your mom after I did the testing. You know, I was taking pregnenolone supplements along with progesterone, really high at the time, progesterone. And I think that combination, which we also talked about, was just too much. So it was too much for my system to have all of that all at once. So once I talked to your mom, then I followed up with my functional doctor and we really dialed back my dosage. I would say a month or two later, it really helped me a lot. And then another thing I did, which I know we've talked about, was I started to play around with the seed cycling. So having the different seeds every day, putting it in my smoothie, that just kind of helped maybe move things along a little bit for me. But after 2 or 3 months, my periods were back to normal after all that.
Yeah. And also one thing that we always say too, is we're educators. We're not doctors at Your Hormone Balance. My mom is a hormone health educator with over 30 years experience in the field. And I also studied hormone health through the school that I went to. I'm also trained by my mom, who is even better than going back to school. She has so much knowledge, but we always say we want to work alongside your doctors. We're not here to replace your doctors. And I feel like our partnership has been such a perfect example of that because we integrated your doctor, like you got your results. We sent you a recap of here's what we would suggest. Here's how we would suggest tweaking the progesterone that you're taking, coming off of DIM, you know, these different things. And then you ran it past your doctor. And then she was able, because you got your progesterone prescribed through your doctor. So she was able to help bring it down and make those adjustments. So we technically worked alongside her, which was really cool. And then you married that with cycle syncing. And then for those who don't know, the seed cycling, which is where during the first half of your menstrual cycle, you're having ground flax and pumpkin, and then you switch to ground sesame and sunflower. And you can do seed cycling. I think for some people, especially you, it's been really, really beneficial. For others who find it a little too overwhelming or hard to remember, just remember, eat ground seeds because ground seeds are more bioavailable. And meaning they're better digested by the body all month long. Just rotate between those four seeds and then other seeds as well. But they have so many vitamins and minerals that are essential to a healthy cycle. They also have phytoestrogens. And so in your case, with your estrogen being a little bit lower, there's certain seeds that can actually help to naturally raise estrogen a little bit and balance out the ratio between estrogen and progesterone. Namely, flaxseed is a really great one for that. And flax is also amazing for the skin. So, but it's interesting because it almost is like an adaptogen where even if you have high progesterone, those phytoestrogens can still help. You just don't want to overdo it with phytoestrogens because it kind of just adapts to what your body needs. But I think that that was a, was another, big needle mover for you. And then as we're getting to the end, because I know you don't have too much time left and I want to be respectful of that. And obviously we don't want this to be a 3-hour podcast. But I've noticed in you just this big mindset shift of giving yourself a lot of grace and not being so hard on yourself. Not putting blame on yourself if, you know, you didn't follow a specific plan. Or one thing that we worked on lately was like you going out of town and being outside of your comfort zone and going on a girls trip, or not girls trip. It was like a friend trip. And you were like, I don't, like, obviously the food is a little bit more out of my control. I'm not going to be getting in, you know, because you're strength training regularly, normally not getting that in. And so we talked about that of like, this is a really good opportunity for you to just trust your body. You have all these tools within you, and going a few days to enjoy and let loose and maybe have a few more drinks than you're used to, and maybe not sleep as well as you're used to, or need to take a sleeping pill. That's okay. And your word of the year, if you want to share your word of the year, and how did you use that to sort of help you through a weekend like that? Because I think that's also really helpful for people to hear that there are going to be times where you're outside of your routines and rituals, even when, even though you are so much more flexible within your regular routines and rituals now, it still can be a little bit like, I'm not getting in the things that I normally, that I know normally make me feel good. So can you speak to that a little bit too?
Yeah, definitely. So my word of the year is flow, because I felt like for so long I was being really rigid with myself, and I was like, okay, you have to do this, this, and this. And if you veer off course, you know, your hormones are going to get out of whack or your skin's going to break out. I was putting so much pressure on myself that I felt like I wasn't enjoying everything in the moment, especially times with my family. You know, I remember we actually went to Disney. Let's see, it was October of 2022. So it was right when things were like at their peak for me. And I can remember getting ready in the room crying because my skin was so inflamed and I didn't want to even go to the park. I'm like, okay, I'm in Disney World. I'm in the happiest place on earth. And something came over me, and, you know, probably a lot to do with my husband. He was like, you're beautiful. Okay, you have a few pimples today. So what? We're going to go. We're going to have a great day. And that really stuck with me. And I was like, okay, I've been pretty rigid for about a year. I want to enjoy my time with my family and friends. I don't want my kids to see me being this rigid because I don't want them to do that to themselves either. That was really important for me, especially for my daughter. She's getting older. So I was like, all right, I need to be more in the flow. And, you know, I want to be able to just go to dinner or go away for a weekend and be in the moment, because those times are so precious and they're so limited. You know, yeah. We don't go away a lot. I don't go away with family or friends a lot. So when we have those opportunities, I just want to be able to enjoy every minute. And I'm happy to say that I did. We went away with my husband's family too. And we had a really great weekend. I didn't really worry too much, like, okay, I'm having a few drinks, I'm eating what I want, I'm not working out, it's fine. When I get back home, I'm going to get back on track. So, that's exactly what I did. And then everything worked out great and we created great memories together. So I'm glad that I'm able to be in this place now where I can give myself that grace to really enjoy life, because it's short and I want to enjoy it.
Yeah. That's so beautifully put. And even in your regular life too, it's like, we've had so many chats where you're like, I went out to ice cream with my daughter and I ate the real dairy ice cream. Yeah. We enjoyed it together and I didn't overthink it. And I, you know, my kids and I went and had this day together. We went to the movies and we got candy and I had it and I enjoyed it and I moved on.
Yeah.
And that's truly what it's all about. It's not about restricting yourself or even saying like, okay, mommy's going to get ice cream with you. But in your head, you're like, oh, that's 400 calories. It has this much sugar. Like, let me factor that into my day, or like, how much exercise do I have to get in tomorrow to make up for it? Or like, oh, this is my cheat meal. You literally are just like, I'm doing this because I'm not going to get these memories back. And this feels really good to me in the moment. And I know and trust my body. And I have these built-in rituals and routines that make me feel good. And I know that I can access them at any point. But what's more important right now? Like, connecting, because food is emotional. I'm sorry. I don't care what people say. Like, food is emotional. And it's a beautiful place to be in where you can recognize that and say like, I love food. I think sometimes as women, we're even afraid to be like, oh, I love food. I shouldn't say that. Right. Or, you know, I want to have ice cream. I don't want to make a swap, because that is part of how I am connecting with my family right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So two more quick questions. How are you advocating for yourself moving forward? And what's like a tip or two that you would give other women to advocate for themselves so that they can go from the place where you are to where you are now?
So I think advocating for myself is just, it was not giving up. So I pushed and pushed until I felt like I found the right doctor for me. And I would really tell anybody to do the same. I think I would have literally traveled across the country if I had to at that time of my life, because I felt really scared and really desperate for help. And I felt like I didn't have a ton of people to turn to that could do something to make it different. So I think you just have to really advocate in the, especially in the medical field, you have to keep pushing until you find that right doctor who's going to listen to you, who's not going to dismiss you. Oh yeah, it's just your hormones. Like, you're getting older, deal with it. You know, we don't have to deal with it. There's a lot out there now, and there's a lot of ways that we can get help for ourselves, and we don't have to feel like we have to just accept it. So I would say to just keep pushing till you find the right fit. You know, and working with somebody like you has just taken that to the next level for me. I'm honestly in a place that I didn't know if I'd ever get here. I just feel so good about where I am physically, mentally, emotionally even. I feel like I have such a good relationship with food, and I'm able to carry that over to raising kids who, you know, I want them to feel comfortable with what they're eating, and I want them to feel like they can advocate for themselves as well if they need to as they get older.
So amazing. I truly just feel emotional hearing that, because you are you are such an advocate for yourself and your own body. And I have just watched you grow so much over the last year and just grow so much more confident in your own choices mm-hmm. and who you are and standing up for yourself and mm-hmm. communicating with your kids. And you're so intuitive. Like, I feel like you're just so much more in tune with your body.
Yeah.
And whenever you have a road bump, I can honestly say, I don't think I've once that I can think of where you've come and said, I messed up.
Right.
I honestly can't think of you saying that. You're like, mm-hmm. this happened. I either need support working through it, or this is mm-hmm. what I think I need to do to move forward, or I want to talk through it. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just so proud of you. It's been such an honor to get to work together. I am so excited for all that's ahead and that we still get to have this partnership and friendship as well.
Yeah.
And I just want you to just kind of leave everyone with sharing, what is your vision? What's like a big vision or goal that you have for yourself and your future?
Ooh. So a vision I have for myself is really just to be the best that I can be. You know, I try to start every day on a positive note, and I'm just so appreciative for the life that I have now. You know, I know we've talked about it, but I lost my dad when I was 20 years old, and that was really difficult for me. And I feel like I've come such a long way from that experience, but it was really tough, but it really gave me a lot of the driving force that I have now. You know, I try to push hard every day to be the best that I can at work. I want to be the best mom that I can be, the best wife, daughter to, you know, my mom. She's great. So I just want to be the best that I can be for my family and myself. And I really just want to enjoy life. And I'm really excited to see like the next chapter of my kids growing up, as you know, my daughter is approaching the teen years. And then before I know it, my son will be there as well. So I just think there's a lot of exciting things to come. I envision traveling more, you know, hopefully continuing to do well at my job. I think I just want to be the best that I can be. And I don't want to really put too much pressure on myself to do anything, you know, a certain way. I just want to come in being happy.
Ah, that's amazing. Let's just leave it at that, because that is such a high note. And this has been such a pleasure. Thank you for going with the flow, because we had
an
outage. We had my dogs pop in. We've had a few distractions. So
That's okay.
Yes, that going with the flow, right?
We are. Yeah. We did it. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Felicia. I'm so, so honored. And I can't wait to share this out, because I know so many women will be able to relate to your story.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. And I was very happy to share.
I truly hope you enjoyed that honest, open conversation with Felicia, and would love to hear your thoughts of this style of interview. So definitely send us a DM at Solo 2.0 Podcast or Body Bliss by Jess and let us know. And if you're a current or past client and interested in coming on the pod, you can reach out to me as well. So with that said, remember, even if nothing feels right today, you tuning into this podcast and opening your mind is enough. Change doesn't happen overnight, so be patient and kind with yourself, and good things will come. We'll see you next time.